Welcome to the.
Is it on? Can you? Did you shut them off? Maybe it was off. I don't know. Give it a try.
It says on.
Does it? Uh-oh. It's okay. They might. Test. Okay. Test. Not yet. Is the main thing hooked up? Test. Yep, there you go.
Welcome to the Special Planning Commission meeting dated Tuesday, January 15th, 2019, 7 p.m. at the Community Recreation Center. Our first order of business is appointment of a chair and vice chair for the 2019 Planning Commission season. Presently, David Riggs serves as chair and Donna Riggs serves as vice chair. So, I guess accepting nominations for chair is our first order of business.
I will nominate Dave Driggs as chair.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I guess I voted for myself. So, I will nominate John Driggs for vice chair.
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I didn't ask for any opposed, but I didn't have to hear any opposed. So, any opposed to either action? I didn't ask for that. So. Alright, so now time has been set aside for public comment. Those in public have 3 minutes to express whatever they'd like to express to the Planning Commission. I don't see anybody signed up on the sign up sheet, but if there's anybody here that would like to spend 3 minutes talking to the microphone and on the record and we have posted to the website for years to come. Let's give you 3 minutes. Anyone? Okay, I guess I will close the public comment portion of the meeting if there's no one in the public who wants to comment. So the first scheduled item is approval of minutes from the November 27, 2018. I will entertain a motion for approval of those minutes.
I move that we approve the minutes from the, what's the date on it? From the November 27, 2018 Planning Commission meeting.
Do I have a second? Did anybody have any revisions or comment about the minutes? Do I have a second? Approval?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the next order of business. The review action on conceptual plan approval for the Cedar Hills Gateway commercial subdivision located approximately 9968 North, 4800 West of the SC1 commercial zone. Is it called the commercial zone of the gateway zone? What's
the commercial level? Commercial level. Just give me a second. All right, so we have two site plans for the commercial zone, the Cedar Hills Gateway Plat A, and it's lots 8 and lot 1. So as you remember, what we did was we approved the infrastructure that's going to go in through these streets, the utility work that's going to go in, and then we'll told you council as the projects come in for approval rather than trying to approve every site plan and every building location and elevation right now. It would be wiser to cater to what's coming in first so that they can kind of design the building around their needs rather than their needs on the building. So we have lot one tonight is the Taco Bell for discussion and review action. Then lot 8 is a storage facility that is up for discussion and action. So is there a preference on which one you guys want to start with?
Let's start with Taco Bell.
most people like to start off about. So just to clarify, even though the set of plans that you guys have in your packet is more of something you would find in a preliminary drawing set, it's kind of a lot of information for the concept. So keep in mind when we're voting tonight, there are a few things that the Planning Commission does actually take action on. Conceptual plan is one of them. So it's a review action, not a review recommendation. Council does not see these plans until you give them preliminary approval to go to the City Council. But with that being said, the concept plan, really what you need to ask yourself is the use allowed in the zone? Right? That's really what it is. We're not voting on any elevations. And I'll read you straight from the code what is intended by the concept plan. I think it's perfect for the discussion we're having tonight. However, with that being said, we do want feedback for the developers as they move into the preliminary stage and provide us with additional details. So the content says, this is from 11-4-2 regarding the concept plan. It says, under B, obtaining Planning Commission approval, it says approval of the concept plan shall not be construed to constitute approval of the subdivision, which shall be deemed as an expression of approval of the basic concept and general layout of the proposed subdivision, which the subdivider may use as a guide in the preparation of the preliminary plan. So really, even though we have elevations tonight, that's, like I said, it's more than what is required for the concept plan, so we can discuss those. But really, I want to stay focused on the vote itself. I want to stay focused on the use and where it is. And then what I want to do is really get into the giving them good feedback so that when they come back to the preliminary plans, the whole preliminary plan set, they have good direction on the same thing. So the top of this is 400 West, North Kent Boulevard. And this is that proposed road that's just barely south of Hart's property. Hart's property starts right up where my screen is. So you see the old people. That there's a three-lane place where they queue it at the two lanes to go left or right out of that subdivision. This road is already approved, so we're really focusing on everything inside of this black line right here. And with both of the plans, what we want to see is that's kind of missing here tonight is I told the developer they need to demonstrate that their parking is adequate for their use. Whether they do that through a parking study, or I'm sure Taco Bell has done a number of studies on parking at their restaurants. They can provide any information between that and the storage facility. The lighting plan, not necessarily as important on the Taco Bell as it is on the storage facility. And then we'll need to see landscaping sheets on the planning that's going to go in, and we'll talk about the elevations. Taco Bell has a trash container. Trash receptacle right here. I spoke with the developers prior to the meeting. The one in the storage facility is actually internal to the building, so that's why you don't see it on the plan. And then we made some engineering changes to some utilities on the roads that we're approved. I just wanted to double check with them that these plans show that reflect those changes. And then finally, we want to see where the signage is going to go, probably so. Walk-ups and what that site would look like. But this is the concept. It's really high level. So I guess this is where we'd open it up to the City Group of Planning Commission to say, here's what we're doing.
One thing that I think for future references, if the developer comes to us with two different things they want to do, it would be nice if they do a few separate agenda items.
Well, they're the same, they're working together, but they're two different motions.
Well,
because really, what applies to one really kind of applies to both. That's what we're
well, I'm just saying we have one agenda item for conceptual plan for two items, right?
Right.
As it's known as the agenda. I'm just saying for future use, you know, nice that you can enable yourself. But that way we could vote. Let's say, for example, we wanted to vote in favor of Alpha Bell and had some issues with.
That's why there's two motions there.
There are two motions.
There's two motions here.
There's some motions on the instructions to us, the agenda item. I'm saying, I'm talking about the public and notice. So
I mean, we can do that. That's a clerical thing, so we'll fix that.
Yeah. Just for future, you guys do that one.
So let's talk about Taco Bell.
Let's talk about Taco Bell.
So may I suggest that, to your comment, let's strictly focus on the use for a moment and approve or deny use. Get that out of the way. And then we'll talk about a variety of things we'd like to see when they come back to the blue area. But sound like a plan? So, do you have any more to present on Taco Bell, or do you want to talk about storage?
It's very good, sir. Sorry, Taco Bell.
Well, from a use standpoint, it's a restaurant. I think that was one of the just.
It is. It is a permitted use in the zone.
Right.
So, I don't know how you would deny it otherwise. No.
And I think you know, Taco Bell's not everybody's favorite, but you don't get a pick.
I mean, we envisioned that a restaurant of some sort would come and would be approved the whole zone again. So.
Very sorry for interrupting. Their alarm went off. I took it off. You did take it off?
Yeah, I said it's not set right now, but where it is.
Okay. It's perfect. That's why we're coming. So we broke in. Yeah. Very sorry. You broke.
No,
all right. I will. I'll let them know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a question about the frame behind the design? What is the install inlet projection? It's just to the south of the dumpster. What is something what it's for?
Install inlet protection? You're looking at a certain page called SWIP.
Yeah.
So what it does is it just covers up that inlet so that dirt drops during the construction period that it doesn't get into the structure system.
Right.
So once they're done, they remove that and it's just normal stuff, right?
Okay.
Mm.
And actually it's like 12 parking stalls, or 14 including the two handicaps.
It's 19, I think.
There's you have five, there's five
yeah.
that are...
On the east side.
There's five
yeah,
that are
over here.
Yeah.
So let's focus on approving the use, and then let's discuss our questions about and suggestions.
I'll give you a question on the use. I don't really know very much discussion.
So, I mean, alternating a motion.
So we're going to break it up for use versus...
Before we do motions, why don't we give feedback and give... Let's just finish Taco Bell.
Okay,
so let's talk about Taco Bell later.
So beyond
the... I thought you said you wanted to handle...
No, I want to say that have to handle them separately, but before we make a motion and move on, let's just wrap up.
Okay,
let's
go.
So I think it's okay to talk about parking. Let's talk about the elevations of the building, if you guys have ideas, if you guys have thoughts. I think this is the time that...
Why don't you start first with your question?
I wasn't sure if the five parking stalls on the east side of this lot were for employees and the 12 their customers. I just wondered if that is not by
That's my point of when they come back with the preliminary plan, I think it's good feedback, and I gave the same feedback as just please demonstrate that this is adequate parking. Another thing to keep in mind is that we would prefer to share parking with the parking lot that has a so eventually there will be more parking stalls. Because if you're parking every use at its maximum use, then your whole commercial zone is going to be parking. So that's why we're trying to encourage some shared parking. But yeah, so we want to demonstrate that in this initial phase, that this is adequate parking.
Okay.
Yeah, I had the same question. How many employees are there?
So assuming this is going in, how much of the overall lot is finished when this goes in? That row, but nothing to the immediate south of this lot. That's correct.
Yeah, so if you go to the whole gateway plan,
right.
We're putting in, there's going to be this room right
that
here,
yeah.
This room right here, and then these are going to start filling in. So one by one, we'll be approving these uses.
Okay, so given that, let's go back to the other one then. How are we doing this, the drive-through?
Yeah,
curling around, it's going to have to go. You come in there and then behind all those other stalls and out. is that, see how the lot line divides the road, the north-south road there and half? Is that whole road going to be in when this goes in?
Everything is hatched.
All right.
The whole hatched area is all accessible.
Good, because you single lane and two-way traffic, that's not good.
So you are saying that even though it's outside of this property line, this is going to be...
That section will be, we're just showing that. That just shows the property line.
Sure.
While we're talking about roads, one of the thoughts I had was, you can see the initial part of the road is wider, and then narrows two lanes right there to get out and pop it off. I have some level of concern, I'm not a expert, but I have some level of concern that the driveway right through for public seems maybe that that's the whole thing, 45 cars.
Seven
cars at the window. Where's the window at? The driver's window.
So far.
Right. Okay. Because looking at, I trying to figure it out in any rendering, but look,
sorry, no, I was inside the posture.
It's in the middle, right? So, anyway, I had some concern that maybe we should keep that road wider.
That's
in case traffic backs up.
We can't, unfortunately, we can't do that here. That road's already been approved to that width, so we're working within the dash line. So it's obviously we don't want them queuing up into this road, but it's not to say it will never happen.
I've seen commercial projects where they're having it back down an island with that sort of place is, you know, people come in there and I've seen cars back up to the road because they're not lost customers fast enough. So I just had some concern that because of those narrows right there, that if that was the curve at the time top of the hill, then hard to know where to get around that way. So I still think about that. But you're saying seven cars to the window.
Can I address it?
Yes.
Come on. Just to
introduce yourself.
Sorry, Charlie Openshaw. My name. I'm not a developer. To address your concern, one thing that had a concern about the road, then coming down into that drive access. If there ever was a problem where there was just too much traffic there, then it becomes a problem. I think you can solve that by putting some cones. I've seen a lot of, In-N-Out Burger does it.
Chick-fil-A does it too.
Chick-fil-A does it. But you can just put some cones where you can stack additional cars to the south there, to where they would have, if they want to get in line, they're going to have to come around.
Wide enough so that if you're in line and you decide,
what
I was wanting, I'm getting out of line, or are
you stuck in the queue? You're stuck in the queue, 12 feet, you're stuck in the queue. Okay. Go ahead. So, first of all, everyone on the call that's heard about it is excited about how. What I see is sort of backing up 2,000 feet. You got a really narrow line, you got a narrow through the section, and we're trying to make this work with the right through lane, narrow restaurant, parking spaces, and driveway. Was the lot line established beforehand, or?
Lot line was established with this in mind. And Charlie had meetings with Taco Bell discussing what their needs were on this side of the lot. Yeah, and this is basically a site, obviously they do hundreds of them, and this is essentially a site plan taken from one of the other locations that they have.
Are we allowed want to have a drive through way get into the center.
Well, that's the issue. I mean, let's talk about that. On setbacks here.
I'm seeing 2 feet between entry drive onto a quick development and a drive, both of our drives. Somebody probably
They may have to wait 5 minutes. So.
I'm wondering if the why are they for this? Well,
stucco, certainly, except for material, like stucco, and our house is stucco.
I'd just like to see more, gives a, an air of permanence that goes along better with the other construction we already have in the area. Certainly, I'd like to see a lot of masonry than the stucco, and then a set of elevations that matches what we're doing in plan here. But I see in the elevations as a parkour type structure, which you don't see in the plan, assuming it's not going to be on this particular site, because then we've got building reaching across.
We're waiting for Taco Bell building plans to arrive. We haven't seen it yet. We'll update us. We'll update it for
So it'll be a pull-up order drive window. We won't have like an over, as far as we got outside anyway, based on the site plan. It won't be a, it'll just be like a building on it versus a, that's also our primary view. We're approaching that people are going to see. It'd be nice if that corner, the Gulf Coast corner, those elevations work well. The dumpster I see is in a masonry enclosure with metal gates. That's good. Seems to be to be placed and positioned as best we can on this kind of development. So those are my thoughts.
Go ahead. Thanks. I just had one question about the, with the drive through there facing west, is there going to be a barrier for lights? Like, if you're coming into the, you know, from a safety standpoint, if you're coming into the
you're pulling in and lights.
You're pulling in and lights are coming right at your face. You know, somebody is in the Taco Bell line, got their high beams on, it could be pretty blinding for somebody coming in.
Oh, you mean somebody pulling into the road?
Yeah, pulling into the road versus in the drive-through. I mean, four-foot hedge would kill that.
Or something. Landscaping.
Yeah, right there, landscaping.
I think you're probably going to see more light impact when the cars turning in on the cars and the drive-through the other way. But I guess
you're
going to
see it more. Again, with this really, really small separation we're talking about here.
Something
to mitigate that a little bit would be, or if we can't get more distance.
So that's the second time there's been a concern around that distance between the road and the bright gray, probably grays. I know there's, and you said there's nothing codified unless it's a strategic residential zone. But surely it doesn't mean this body can't place a requirement of some sort to apply this object. It's just public safety.
You can demonstrate public safety.
Right.
It's got to go beyond just demonstrating or just making a statement.
Okay. So you're going to have parking studies will be done, right? Lighting studies will be done.
Either a parking study will be done, which I'm assuming they won't do because Taco Bell, assuming that it's done enough, that Taco Bell might have more showing what the demands are going to be.
So I think that's what information would a traffic study provide for?
Traffic studies usually show you what the level of service will be at each intersection.
And since
we don't really know what the level of service is going to be at that intersection, it's hard to say that it's going to go from an A grade to an F grade, because there's no grade right there right now. And this would be the only thing people are driving it for. So initially, it's going to service Taco Bell, and a storage facility just doesn't generate a lot of traffic. So initially, this road is going to just serve Taco Bell. For people coming in, it also could serve a lot of traffic going into the Cedar Canyon development and people that want to turn left right before that light to be up on the Chase Bay and Wire, just kind of bypass that light if they can still do that.
And on what basis is it that we have to demonstrate that this is positive? What are you basing it off of?
Well, it's with any condition. Because basically, you're placing a condition on a project, right? Anytime you
time you do a conditional use, which pretty much everything is, like, not everything, but anytime you place a condition on a project saying, you have to realize that even though it's listed as a conditional use, you're saying that you may do it, but a condition may apply. And it's not to eliminate a risk, it's to mitigate a risk. So even though we can understand that safety might be an issue there, safety is an issue everywhere. So if you go listen to minutes from Walmart, every child is safe, you're going to die at some point. So you have to really kind of hone down on what the issue actually is.
I have
two issues and then raised. So thus far, it was the main one is the close proximity of oncoming traffic to cars parked there. The other is the hazard of pulling in and having headlights facing the way. So there's two so far.
Yeah. Can I ask a related question, Mr. Chair? I've been wondering about pedestrian traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, if someone were to walk from the north to the south to go to Taco Bell, seems like they would try to cut that corner. I'm talking about a high school kid, for example. If they walk to Taco Bell from the high school, how are they going to enter the Taco Bell without cutting across the drive-through or?
High school students are known for always using
I've been down to Walmart and McDonald's at lunchtime, and they're like, obese. They're just going to go where they go. But I mean, I think that you've got, I mean, this sidewalk, crosswalk, sidewalk. It's walkable.
I guess it seems odd to me there's no sidewalk on that.
On more of this side?
Yeah.
So they're doing this side, but they are allowing access to this. So then that's why we didn't put sidewalks in on every corner. I mean, if you look at the Walmart or the McDonald's, let's go take a look at the McDonald's.
While you're over at Chandler, I don't know how to explain these streets. Condition. It just seems to me to be really close and vehicles moving in opposite directions. But I know people don't ride right on a curb, but with the curbs 2 feet apart from one another, it just seems like it's closer than we want.
I understand what you're saying. If I'm countering that, I would say, and I'm just trying to get those out.
Yes.
I'm just trying to say, we're going to make a condition, but let's make a good condition. But as I'm pulling in anyway, there could be lights shining from the two lanes that are queuing up on the other side.
Yeah.
And I'm driving just as close to those cars with no barrier as I am to these cars with two curbs and small strip of cracks. So you have to have a strong argument. I guess my point on the sidewalk is, I mean, this is chicken neck. There's a sidewalk on this side, not on this side. Sidewalk on this side, not on this side. We haven't always put sidewalks on every side. We don't even walk on each side. And then the high school kids, this is their sidewalk right here. Their cars.
Is it feasible to push the road more than the sidewalk on the other side? It seems to be a sidewalk for a parking lot of cars.
Not at this point.
To be the line.
Okay, that's a good idea. It's an interesting idea, pushing the road north doesn't work because these two cutouts here are already there. I know that I've gone down and met with UDOT on these two cutouts. They're kind of locked in. They are what they are. So, and their property line terminates right here. So they would be pushing that road off into another belt.
Is there a public crosswalk? You go back to the Taco Bell. So there's no designated crosswalks yet, right?
Not yet.
There's one right there, but there's not another one. I guess I don't see much public interest in using that sidewalk where it's designated. So I mean, all the
I guess
more activities to the south.
But I guess I'm not understanding how how that is, because if I'm a high school student and I'm walking from Wolfgang High School to Taco Bell, is that where I'm going to walk?
I think the chair is referring to the east-west sidewalk.
Yeah.
Well, that sidewalk.
Yeah, it'll be used. My point is that we just, the sidewalk I put on that side, we're not, we haven't done sidewalks on the side. But that's where we are.
Does anybody else have anything to bring up?
What are your thoughts on the strip?
Marie, do you have anything you want to bring up?
I've seen that. You mean the strip between the drive aisle?
Yeah. And I think you are going to have to address this.
I've seen that lots of times in the past. I mean, but I understand the issue. It's a safety issue. You're worried about cars hitting each other, barrier completely between them. Whether it's bollards or something to keep pressure hitting, you're kind of on those.
It's primary visibility in corridor 40 or 70.
Right.
It puts something.
Well, that's what I say.
Visually, it would block it.
Yeah, I've seen driveways do that. I mean, it's not that common.
In a perfect world, we'd have a road, we'd have landscaping,
right.
And your curve through the drive.
And frankly, we did have a wider previously when we first started the process. But the decision was made to widen that street for three lanes. So that's where we lost this.
I can see that.
That's where we lost.
So we pushed them to widen this out so that there were two turn lanes to queue out and one to turn in.
On the south side of the property, what are you finishing that out with on the south side? Is there a curb there?
There's a curb. There's a curb right here.
There's a curb along the
south.
Yes,
there's a curb on the south side.
I just wondered if you're just going to leave blacktop in because it was going to be adjoining another area.
What about this portion
that I have there? That's just going to be access for future
parking. Yeah, there's more parking on that side.
So they'll put the curb better in here, repair. Then this is going to terminate just as asphalt and future development to build asphalt to be able to get the drive
to here. Come in here.
One question I have is the size of the parking stalls themselves. And as it compares, I don't know what the dimensions are, for example, for the Arts gas station stalls. Those stalls seem to be, my opinion, kind of a nice adequate size. I've seen parking stalls that are much smaller, and you know, I think you've all been in those parking lots where there's lots of stalls that you can't get in and out of your car. And I can't mentally, I look at the dimensions of this stall, and I can't relate that to how that compares to, say, what we have at Parks or Walmart. But my thought process is that we build out this whole entire development that we have consistent parking stall sizes that you may want to mirror naturally elsewhere.
Let me describe what we've done here, and I'm not sure exactly how it's going to
go. Chandler.
Forgive me. I was going to say the typical minimums on a parking stall, which frankly most developers push for, is they get more parking space, is an 18 by 8 stall. So these stalls are a foot wider, plus you set up a 4-foot strip. You've got a 9-foot stall, which is really a good size stall. Truck can fit in there. It's worked out well. The only people I've seen do larger than that is sometimes I'll see in the contractor zone, Home Depot or something like that, a 10-foot wide stall. They'll make it much wider than that. But 9-foot stall is a good size.
Yes. Most of what I've seen at NYHC is with a 24-foot road, is there any reason why we have to be at a 25?
Well, that could be where you buy some space here. So that's a good idea. If you've got 9 by 20, you require 9 by 18 in our code.
That might be
you
get another foot out of the drive.
And then 24 and 25 here.
That's good.
So
That pushes you to an almost size park strip. And that's the distance from the sidewalk to the street in a residential neighborhood.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
So, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll
actually hire you. One store for the planning commission.
I mean, at that point though, I mean, 20 feet is nice because you drive a truck from a long bed, it's really nice. But I mean, our code, as I was just looking up, our code here, parking, number three, it's difficult to read, but it said it does say parking spaces should be 9 feet wide, 18 feet deep. So there is some room for play there to kind of shift that site down a little bit wide bed.
Even 2 feet would be.
And I wonder about the 12-foot drive aisle.
It's best for that turn at the corner to make sure, make sure people can make that. You guys will drive smart car. We can make it narrow.
My truck's got a hard time.
That's why they got these five spaces out here.
Can't make the building narrow.
No, it's up and low.
So, Chad, if you go to page 9 of this stuff. The ADA ramp itself.
Yeah.
And I know this will probably change, probably is not completely particular of what.
I'm talking about this detail right here.
No, the.
I'm on sheet 9 of the.
Just noticing that left ADA stall, so there's two slopes down, right, for ADA, but that left stall, you have an ADA person, they have a van, it opens on the left side, their vehicle, their door, and the ramp is around the right side. Is this normal ADA?
That's typical.
That's typical? I don't
that's
know.
Typical.
Yeah, so this isn't a parking zone, this is a loading zone.
Right.
That's the hatched area.
This is actually preferable because when you're coming down in a wheelchair, flares, a lot of times the wheelchair starts to zip, so the curtains ramp down and start and go into the unit.
And a lot of ADA cars will load from the passenger side. So I remember our turn being shot in the wheelchair. This van, you load, if you're parking here, you would load it on this side. Got the driver's.
The 2010 ADA code specifies that that is a van stall for that very reason. The door of the van is on the passenger side.
And the entrance to the building itself, I presume, will have like some type of ADA access.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what this ramp is. This is all for
the I'm talking about the building itself. Yeah, the door sidewalk there for an and this is kind of related to talk about specifically. I don't count as that, but I'm just talking about.
No, go ahead.
But there's a couple things. So I can hear on the roads. Once this talk about goes in, there's this transition between parts now. Parts, sidewalk, road, talk about, right?
Field.
Reinhardt. Field property, too.
Yeah. So there's the.
There's still an empty parcel.
Right? Yeah, there's. So this is parts. I'm going to load and see that there is. I'll show you. This is in here. So yeah, you can see the Hartz, this is still Hartz owns this land right here. This is where the street's gonna go in. Right. Top of those right here.
Okay. Alright. I wasn't really clear to me where Top of those exactly.
So yeah, if you look, if you drive down, you'll see these now. So I'm pointing out to you. But there are
yeah.
where you got
saying
you can put in an access point here. And we have two of them, and that's why there's not a lot of flexibility of where we can put roads.
So we go back to page 1 of the top of the well and the garbage itself, the way it's pointing, right? The only way a garbage truck can get in there to get that is to run over the garbage.
But it's a dumpster and that's the question that they ask. Right? So in we have the same thing in our building. Come open the gate, have the things that prong in front of the dumpster and flip it up, dump it down.
Right. And then they're going to have to probably back out on the public street. They're probably not over there.
Well, they can back out. They can pull in, pick up the garbage, back out, and go out. Okay. Okay. Plenty of access is okay.
I kind of like the way that was laid out. I was thinking about how to drive.
If this were flush with the road, I think it would provide a much more difficult access.
Yeah. So my last comment on this topic, I think it's the last one. So one topic was brought up earlier was about the look of the building itself. And I think I know these drawings are just kind of gives a sense of what it looks like, but I think it's very far from our original look and feel from our design guidelines. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware.
Does Taco Bell understand that?
They've got that mentioned loud and clear.
Okay, thank you.
So, you should be a lot more written stuff over there. So anyway, that's something I wanted to point out.
Signage.
Yeah. So on the
yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just concerned. I a lot of Taco Bells, old school Taco Bells, have a nice tall pole with the sign on the top and marquee and everything. And that's not going to go here, right? No.
We don't allow that.
I know.
We said no McDonald's.
Yeah.
You're going to be limited to 10-monument-type signs.
Thank you.
So that's where on the preliminary plan we'll want to designate a spot here just to show us where it's going to be, because obviously it can't be on this corner here. Nice to be that the blocks are
different. So come back a little bit on that, yeah.
Somewhere in. Yeah. If you're up in Orem and you drive, you do talk about the front of the Target there.
Yeah.
In Orem. That is their newest concept that they have. And so really, I sort of envision they're going to push for that sort of concept and building, but we can dress it up with the materials and so forth that you guys are looking for.
Okay. So does that have anything on top of it? You want the storage?
So the storage at this is a conditional use back here in this portion of the zone. I'll be honest, I've had a lot of developers ask about storage and building storage buildings. So I think if there is an demand for this, I'm fairly optimistic this building will be very well for them. But with that being said, I've raised some concerns with the developers about some of the appearance of the building. And I had some concerns before, like I said, about where the trash would be. That's inside the building, so it's not something that I'm very concerned about. More about that building pool. Lighting, where there's neighbors here to the east. I think the building is set back far enough away from the home. Like you're 40 feet away from the home. So I think the setback from the property lines is more than that. And you do have this 15-foot landscaping berm. There will be a masonry type fence going in there. I think it really comes down to lighting. So we want to demonstrate that the lighting is not spilling over into the neighbor's yards here. A storage facility is a very quiet building, so noise isn't. I think I've already raised most of my concerns. Once again, on the parking, I know a storage unit doesn't receive lots of people, but we'll just want to demonstrate that this parking is adequate. If we need to extend that somewhere, increase that number, then that's something they're going to have to kind of show up by commission that this is adequate for parking.
Exactly. Where is the parking?
Yeah, I'm seeing four stalls. Is that right?
Three stalls.
Three stalls?
One day.
Okay. So if I'm coming with stuff, where do I park and how do I get in the building?
I'm going to turn somewhere right.
Yeah, this is the big question I have. Where's the traffic actually going to go? You've got to roll around it.
It's a good question. And embrace yourself.
Ryan, bye. And redeveloped several of these sites. The most recent one, to give you some background on some of the issues and questions that you have, which you kind of nodded your head at. The most recent one that we did was about 300 feet from the Jordan River Temple South Florida that backs onto five and plus Cedar Community. And this is almost identical design except for its current four level instead of number four. And in all of our facilities, the max number of stalls we ever have is four. And mostly what happens is people go online and they reserve their unit. They come in, they do a contact, and they come back with their truck trailer or whatever it is. They come in, they pull around, they load, and they're gone. And so whenever I pull into our sites, the only space that's hardly ever occupied is usually our manager and maybe one other car that's there that has a scheduled appointment for a contract. And so again, I can provide sites. Our sites are all managed by Extra Space Storage, which is the largest storage unit manager in the country. It's the largest storage unit in the country. And again, they do have similar studies that will show you the number of parts of it is on average a good way to create your food. As far as the lighting is concerned, anywhere we back onto a residential light, in South Florida, we use a shielded light system which only shines down, doesn't shine out. So we'll show you that. You'll see a difference on the other side, which are faces of other commercial uses, or faces of the road that does that for lighting, but yes, we have to use a very careful picture that it's all shielded light. We've already spoken about the dumpster we keep those inside. We don't like people to use our dumpster. Storage in the facility, we don't want to take them and throw away their trash. So we keep it inside and it's locked in and they can't access it. Strictly for office trash. As far as the landscaping is concerned, or the concern by busing the community in South Georgia, we show you obviously we've got a 50-foot setback in land. We can set back along the residential area there where we planted the trees. There they want a mix of green and we did a maple, pollinated maple green trees. They wanted some type of maple, it's a greenery, or whatever. But that helps to also provide shielding between the residential uses and the storage facility. And then also along, Seven Hundred West, and that part of it is the same thing. I realized after I sent it that they didn't show that I was having a hard time pulling it up very big on it.
Yeah, it's kind of so rainy.
I did print some better quality. You can see those in the market. Yeah, you got it. Okay. But again, we'll have trees, tree planting. This will be on our next middle landscape design. That will again be in that part because it's buffering 4700 from the use of our site. I will also tell you that these facilities, our facilities, are not accessible after 10 p.m., not 24-hour access. All of the exterior units have overlock systems, so you can't even get in them. It's a cool technology where they have to come up and the system actually, the computer system locks and unlocks them. So once they put their keypad in, if it's during hours, then it will unlock their door for them. If it's not, they can't even access it.
What time is it open?
So you can access them at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Yep.
So there are exterior units?
There are about 10% of the units are exterior units.
All the way around?
All the way around, yeah. Yeah, so if you look at the rendering, you'll notice that to make use of the outside of the building, you have about 10% of the units are exterior access units that are controlled with the overlock system that only access during the normal hours.
The colors are right in the door.
Correct.
Are,
yeah.
And on this building, are those limited to the site of the building that is not basically residential, or is it?
It's on all four sides, yeah. And if you'll notice, most of these units, which are the kind of new class, we call them Class A storage facilities, 99% of them have a certain number of units on the exterior, which is usually on the four sides, just provide a different product type, as we call it within the business, that the exterior unit versus an interior unit. I will tell you that in our contracts that we sign for tenants, no business can be operated out of these. There's a specific no loitering clause. Cannot live in them. And so what we find and what you'll see in the industry is that people come, they load, they go. They don't wait around. If they do wait around, they leave their doors open and they're hanging out there, then we can kick them out and we can tell them, you've got to close your door, you've got to leave. And so,
Is that happening right now?
It does not. In fact, I was talking to our manager in South Florida today, and it's like, and I didn't like, I visit them, frequently. And you hardly ever see anybody there even using the access doors. They're usually coming quickly, they load, and they go. Nobody's hanging around, and we don't allow that, and they can't operate the business, and they can't really.
But there is a process in there.
There is, yeah. It's in the closet. There's a no boardroom closet constantly.
I have a question with the.
Yeah.
My understanding was that it was all an internal. This whole thing that there's outside access doors completely new, other than when I saw this, and I wondered about it, and I looked at it, but that you're just saying it is like, that's kind of nervous.
My recollection is like doors, past interactions was, it would be a door kind of controlled storage facility. It's called a store, indoor storage facility on the kitchen. And I remember back to our approval of the zone, we actually added storage.
So there's.
It
was never permitted. It wasn't listed to use.
Right.
Storage and kind of training facilities weren't listed as uses.
But we ended up adding it, I believe.
Yes, if you go to.
So while he's looking that up, most of the pictures that were shown from the zoning we've gone through, in fact, I looked at them today, all of them show other sites that were demonstrating the indoor climate control facilities that are what we're showing you here do have exterior units that are attached to
them. What are those says using about indoor climate control storage? Only allowed in retail mixed use overlay. So in retail mixed use overlay, this building does fall within that.
But it's also forward that it looks like an office building. And we wouldn't feel really no different. And that office building don't have exterior garage work. So this is all premium.
My recollection as well, that it would be hard to tell that it was a storage facility. It was the indoor plant control storage. I guess one can debate the door. I mean, obviously, that's right. A garage door that's on the outside of the building, once you close it, now it's indoor, right? But I think the intent was that it would be
And I understand you can turn off say that and our facility is already done in the industry. I think you'll see that it doesn't increase the demand to build up the facility. I don't know if it provided, it adds any additional resources or any additional that I can see. I guess maybe I can go back to your feedback as to why having some units on the exterior would devalue the building or increase the nuisance or add the issues related to public safety or any of that in regard.
If you're one area, I mean, if you're all indoors, all internal, and there may be one or two entrances where people go in, that's not driving around playing the cell or the daughter and the mess up. That's what I'm saying. But I've never heard that this was a plan.
I would say there's probably two concerns from the city's point of view on indoor climate control, and that is one. Is I would be a nuisance would be one thing that you mentioned, and I genuinely don't think that it's so. The second thing then becomes aesthetics, and when the city's been very reluctant to do certain things. Now there has to be bay doors on the outside somewhere because you have to be able to get big things into and so. My feeling is that there has to be some bay doors, but.
Well, and what we try to do, and you'll see with our landscape plan, is that we landscape the outside nicely and heavily and shield it. Our doors match the colors throughout the building.
Can you make me want to use the colonial version?
So we took the same. I had our mason come down and walk around the Walmart building, and that's the exact manufacturer. Rendering it always hard because you can't show it how you want to show it, but it's the exact same brick that Walmart uses.
Same gray.
Right. And the same stucco color, and then the colors of the door match the gray. Just hard to show all those,
okay.
Like in a rendering.
So it's either columns or
This was our approach at it. This is what I thought looked nice and good, and I thought that's some of the colonial style, using the peaks and the, you know, some of the different elements of the other buildings. But if you have specific recommendations.
I have a question. So I've seen truly, you know, true indoor climate control storage facilities, so even extra space on where you don't see go outdoors, but it's truly all indoors, right? That this is all that exists in your industry?
It does exist in the industry for sure. Sometimes in back of buildings happen that way, the old Walmart or something like that will go into the wall because of the nature of the building it is. And a new construction classic like this is, like I said, it's 90% of what is built is indoor climate control for deep water shown. But for sure, I mean, there's an outlier in every case.
And is that this is all that would work here for your business?
No. Having the extra 10%, having the breakup of product, different type of product, again, relieves the congestion of the loading zone because you have 10% of the units that are accessible and you can spread out the loading and the unloading. It's better for us. And having it fall internally, hallway systems inside are less congested when it's set up like this. So logistically and operationally for unloading and loading for customers is a much more congestion.
So in this run, that was a storage facility yesterday. Typically those facilities have security and fence and gate and in and kind of locked in, right? I don't see that we're going to do that here. I'm not having anything to do.
Which facility were you at, Paul?
I can't remember the name. 700 or 800. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
the kangaroo zoo?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that one real well.
Anyway, there's other many that are like that. But I guess, so now you have these garage doors available to the public, right, to gain access. So from your business, that's not a concern, you use security wise.
No, I've just seen in the last 3 or 4 years, that's why I asked, it's just so graphic, but then you not it, but a lot of the new technology and storage that are all automated using computer systems over lock on control and doors. So we don't want them to look like fortresses and prisons. We don't want to wall them all the way around. We don't want to, you know, put spotlights on it that are motion sensitive. We want to control them with technology, so you can only hash this in with your key code.
So there's no padlock that people have on
the
door?
They do have a
padlock, basically, on the door.
They do have a padlock that goes on their door, but even if they take their padlock off and they're not accessible, they don't touch their code into the pad. The overlock system doesn't allow them to open it, so it's a double lock system. If that makes any sense. But we don't want gates. We don't want anything that makes it look like a prison or a barrier. We want it to look nice, and that's one way the industry has gone. Last 3 years.
So the one thing this body is struggling with is maybe it was described to us correctly or accurately or the business model changed at some point, but we were working on this, so we were told that there was interest in indoor climate controlled storage facility that would be nondescript, like an office building. Did very well with the surrounding buildings. I think the concern you're hearing tonight is that there's portions of it that we might be envisioning more of an indoor-outdoor sort of facilities. You do need access to soil from outdoor, not all indoor. Portions of it are climate controlled. I assume these garage bay ones may not be climate controlled. So, I know the climate control is not part of the application, if you will, but I think this group's struggling with that a little bit, mostly in the realm of not public safety or anything like that. It's more the RMA and look and feel of how this building's going to fit and look in the zone is a concern. So, I'm just kind of letting you hear the groundwork and kind of why you're hearing some pushback, because we kind of a different mental image of what the intent was.
And to be fair, we also at those first meetings saw a fence completely surrounding the property with the gate on the outside. That was in the drawings. showed a fence, showed a gate, just the little sketches that were shown.
And I think you really have to go back to this, and this is my opinion, I share some very similar concerns with what you shared. You really have to, me, you have to go back and your safest bet is when you make a vote, you vote based on what the code says. Says to me,
indoor climate control.
Now, I'm not an expert on storage, but I know what that means to me, but I don't have a storage. Like I said, there's going to be a need for bay doors somewhere on this building because people have to be able to get big feet in. But my concern is the number of bay doors, especially with bay doors on the east and the north side.
How many bay doors are there in the entire building?
I think it's about 50.
50.
Wow. And I'm seeing that there's going to be light by each part of the building.
So the lighting is spaced, we don't have lights up in the door, right? Lighting is spaced 30 to 50 feet apart. Putting it in the back side of the ship light is like stand and apply and all that sort of thing.
What's the, can you see a sense of the square footage of those 50 stalls compared to the rest of the building?
It's about 10% of the overall building, and there are a mix of 10 by 20 units.
How many indoor units are there?
Probably. We haven't designed the entire building, but the likely fit about the top 500.
Sure.
500 total units. Oh. Yeah, 10% of the team. 50 units.
One question I had was in the picture on the corner of the office building, is there windows on the first and second floor? We have these three other entrances, I presume, on each corner. Entry and exit points to the building, right? All four corners, is that?
No, not all four corners.
So what's the curved concrete for each corner? Is there any center? That's just for the
guy. Oh, you're looking at the side panel, you know, yeah. So there's a triangle.
I guess,
yeah.
So it's just because you've got turning radiuses of vehicles and not like half corner buildings on it. It's just cut out.
So if you get to these other 450 some odd units, you would enter right building office door.
So you have the office door here.
Yeah.
Then you have a loading zone here, and a loading zone there. And then you have an emergency exit access. You get the stair access that comes out there.
So you have elevators in there.
That is correct. Yeah.
And then on. Do you have windows on any other part of the building other than the office and your side? Are there windows? I'm on a
second level.
On the rear elevation, there are no windows. You could put them if you'd like them, but you can turn the engine.
I don't want them.
We did add them on the south and the north and the east side where it was visible.
Do you remember we have that in our first meeting? Maybe
have
windows,
but that they were not, they were
frosted.
They actually can't look into your bed. But it's
better than one solid wall that we're looking at. Break it up with.
I mean, would you?
Windows,
you
might
have
to have.
I would break up with some design
on
them, but I don't see
if you get
windows.
Something.
You know, what we tried to do on the rear elevation there is, I guess, show you the rear elevation, but we try to do similar kind of what this one was, where you have some break up with the break in stucco and the cornices above it, just to give it some so it wasn't one flat thing. But I don't have any problem adding windows, and we can drop or even add faux windows in somewhere. So you can see them. But we can do.
Is your business model work? This building was a place that there were absolutely no ground floor. Large type units on the north and on the west.
On the north and on the west.
Yeah, what we're seeing in this picture.
So just on the residential thing?
Yeah, well, this is a large 6-foot wall, right?
No, I hope it's 8.
Well, it's 8. I'm assuming these are 8 foot high, 10 foot high.
Whatever code's that out, if you want to help me.
It's 6 foot. Right now it says 6 feet on
it. I know. It's not my work question.
So I guess my question is that the smaller work for you?
I haven't done it that way because I've not designed it that way. I wasn't involved necessarily in the beginning stages of the whole rezone zoning. So when we were doing door title control, this is the model that, you know, we do. Like I said before, there's a lot of benefits to having the interior because from a community perspective, some people like those. They like to be able to come in and access them very quickly without having to go through elevators up and down. To provide a different product type, a different size that they can offer that you can't offer on the inside. And what I'm telling you, we've done a study where it's shielded by landscape and the handling is very nice. So that's what we try to do and would like to do. And our suggestions without having to go to that requirement of saying nothing can be accessible inside because it increases the congestion. Now I've got to put probably additional loading zones on the other new sides just to spread out the loading.
Just a few comments. I guess we're, based on what I see here, we're either approving or not approving the concept.
So I know we're talking a lot about the elevation. Can I go back to the previous statement? Is that
just good for us here?
It's good input because I think that it gives them a lot of really great direction to go from concept plan phase two to preliminary phase. However, a concept rendering of the building is not, well, there's not a rendering of the building is not part of the concept. It comes in the preliminary phase, but it's kind of like we're giving them a head start on what they can expect when they come with a building with many doors on the outside. So tonight you're looking at the use, and like I said, the use is a conditional use in that zone, which conditional use means that you're okay with it being there with conditions. So you've got to say, what are those conditions? And so I would encourage the Planning Commission to go read our city code on conditional uses, 10537, and read up on what those impacts are that we're mitigating. And it's going to be noise, it's going to be dust, it's going to be light, it's going to be hopefully not smells in this case, but.
Well, I guess my question is maybe more fundamental.
Okay.
I'm not sure that what's being proposed implies that what we listed as a condition is doing this long. And regardless of everything else.
Yes. Yeah. But I see where you're going.
I mean, my thought is we thought we were, when we were up the zone, listed a conditional use of we see something that had multiple 50 external garage doors, and just based on that, nothing else, something in common that's one approach. The other approach is we approve it at a storage facility with the condition that there are no externally access to this. It's all internal and control per the language in the conditional use. I don't know which way we're allowed or both ways and what's more productive, because if we approve it the second way, I don't know that we have a product and a business model that's going to work and a product just goes away in this case.
But at the same time, you could not approve it and they can come back with a full product. Set of drawings and say we want to do concept and preliminary at the same time. We've done that before. It's not unheard of.
So you're saying it wouldn't delay it?
It doesn't necessarily delay it, but
I'm not.
I also go back to the concept, the idea that when you give concept approval, you're not approving the project, or you're giving the idea of the concept, which in this case, the concept needs to be indoor climate control storage.
And so that's where
if that's something that the Planning Commission feels they don't meet, then you vote no.
Yeah,
there's no vesting given at this point.
Because I think the other thing we're trying to do is we have a large development here. We have other projects that are going to come in. I'm coming in to build a two-story office building. Do I want to be across from a lot of garage doors? Very sensitive to the folks who live there. I know we're going to have a fence and landscaping, but I'm surprised. I didn't envision a truck pulling up behind the building at 9:45 and opening their garage door and unloading or offloading material. I thought they were pulling up the front of the building, coming in the main entrance. These were smaller, indoor storage units, and that's what I thought when we were writing this off. So I guess what I'm just saying to the commission is, my thought is, well, we've got a product that doesn't match what we listed as a conditional use. My thought is,
so then I guess you can say no, but then like the constructive thing is, where does it come short of, say, bring back this?
And is that different than putting conditions that are sort of being framed?
I think I see the key word there being indoor.
Yeah, I mean, indoor climate control.
Yeah, we said indoor climate control. Those are the words that are used in our health.
Yeah.
And 10% of this doesn't meet that.
It's not specific, but we have other parts of our code that talk about seeing overhead doors, seeing dumpster doors, that kind of thing. And now I've got 50 doors that I can see. It seems to go way beyond 10. The other parts of our code, we don't have a great access here. But I think we've implied it in the sense that when we listed our conditional use was indoor, climate control, storage, and so on. Speak for itself.
Yeah. Michael. So then I guess you could look down and say that in order to get lots of approval, we'd like to see a loan.
So let me ask the question that 450 some odd whatever units that are truly indoors, right?
They're all indoors.
There, how many of them are climate controlled at all? Climate control and how they climate control? How they climate control?
Yeah. How the whole building insulated and it's have the full HVAC system,
including the, and that's also the case with those, the exterior units as
well. Yeah, well, it absolutely could be. Typically in our design, we do not do the, you don't condition the exterior units.
Right.
I guess that's what I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand the fear of the exterior access units and what it does, what you feel it does to the community.
That's my question too, Jeff. You said our concern. I'm not sure if anyone's really articulated other than they don't like the way garage doors look. Is that what this is about?
I think it's the look and feel, and is it harmony with what we do together with the building?
It's not at all what we do first.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying at this moment in time, is your concern you don't like the way the garage doors look? I just want to be clear.
I don't like the way there's going to be the garage doors.
Because of the way they look. No, I understand that you have a vested interest in this because of where your home is located. But he already said that the traffic's not going to increase because of the way the exterior versus interior is configured. So is this about the way the garage doors look? Is that what?
No, the way it functions.
I guess what I'm saying too is the traffic and the time on site decrease because you're spreading out any potential customer coming from the unload, as opposed to having staffing and loading them. So. I'm not trying to convince you one way. I guess I am trying to convince you one way or another. But I'm also telling you that if you go park yourself at our South Door location and watch it, you'll see that people are there and gone.
That's fine, but I'm going to go talk to the neighbors.
I think what the body is struggling with is that, again, when we discuss this topic, this concept, and whether we should allow it or disallow it in the zone, was that it would be an office style looking building.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to necessarily know or tell that it was a storage facility. That it fit in harmony with the rest of the commercial because of that. And now something different supplies going with that a little bit. Garage doors, that quantity is hard to cost technically. They both look quite colonial feel. They're open. Obviously, if they're open, you look in and see everybody's stuff. Now it doesn't look like a formula or harmony anymore.
I think that's what the group's looking for.
Yeah, and to give some background, I mean, if you look at what we require in the Walmart building going in, their loading doors
you really can't see them, but for very small, you know, just very few people can even see those doors. 98-99% of people that are around Walmart can't see those. And we've stated other places in our code where if you have a garage door, it can't be visible from the, you know, the main streets. And so when we see this many garage doors, it seems to clash with what we require to have.
Yeah, I guess our read of that in the code is from 4,800 to Drive.
Sure.
You're still there. You sit back. You sit
back. You're well back. Agreed.
It is different.
I agree.
When I went back and looked at it again today, is in the emails that were sent to the city, we're showing examples of the sites that would be proposed in the indoor climate control facility. Every single one of them was exactly what you saw. They all had exterior access doors that you guys looked at, the city council looked at, and you guys didn't look at them. So I'm like, this isn't anything different than what was shown to you when the discussion was happening.
I will say when I saw the visual you had here today, I looked at it. My first thought was, what's about doors is that so long?
Right.
I can't tell, right? That's part of the design. Doors about doors. That's one thing I wanted to learn tonight was over here.
Well,
right.
Like you could get
So is there anything else you'd like to share before we consider a motion?
I guess I'll just stand by what I'm saying, and I'm trying to understand the fear and try to mitigate what I heard the fear was with the aesthetics. And whether we have exterior or not doesn't decrease the number of units, it doesn't decrease the number of people coming to pop and stuff at our site. And so the congestion, the amount of cars loading and unloading does not go away. In fact, it helps it. So that's what I'm saying, is that the aesthetics is the issue. Then let's work on matching back to the building and shielding and landscaping and making it look nice, as opposed to restricting it and creating congestion and not really decreasing the number of units that can fit inside the building. So in my mind, I'm trying to grasp at what the real problem is and solve it, as opposed to just saying no exterior units. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just articulating what I'm understanding.
I think what we're understanding is that different than what we were these months leading up to this.
And so you don't feel like I tried to put something out there that wasn't. What I understand is that in our industry, indoor climate control is exactly what I'm saying. There's always a component, there's always an outlier where there's not an interactive facility, but there's always a component that affects your access units. And when I reference the pictures that were shown, probably four different sites in our area, all of them have exterior access units that were also Class A indoor climate control facilities. And so I wasn't presenting something that I felt was different than what your expectation was. Chandler did bring it up to us in meetings over the last couple of weeks, and I explained the same thing to him as well. These are the pictures that we show. This is what the industry terms indoor climate control. And not that you're going to create another zone in the city that has this, but in the future I would say indoor climate control storage that has no exterior access doors, because that's how the industry people would understand it. Again, I'm not trying to pour over on you, I'm just explaining to you my position, just like you're explaining the surprise to you. So,
all right, thank you.
Yes.
So, if there's no additional comment or questions, we should make a motion on top of that. Then, make a motion on the storage facility. Does anyone want to make a motion on Taco Bell? Is it use?
I'll make a motion. I move that we approve the concept plan for the Taco Bell located approximately 9968 North, 4800 West, subject to a recommendation that we look at moving the building several feet further south.
Any discussion before we go? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. We don't want to make a motion on the storage facility.
someone make a motion, I'm going to vote for that before I.
Well, we have several choices here. One is we can approve it, we can deny it, and we can also table it. Tabling and denying can lead to a potential concept and preliminary at the same time. They would like to come back. Never to mitigate some concerns we raised. I don't know that we would approve it in or not. But those were the three paths I see, table, approve, or deny. I would suggest that we not table it, but we actually take a stance on approve or deny the concept plan versus just tabling it. We are duly authorized and expected to make decisions for that, so we should do it. So, I don't know if anyone wants to make a motion or not.
So, the approval is for the concept, right?
Approval is for the concept. And if we approve the concept, just to be clear, we still have the ability to. Later, deny, reject. Now we will be.
That's hard to be very clear. If you're going to approve the concept, be very clear about what you expect to see in the preliminary, so that the minutes happen, so that the minutes, the motion shows exactly what was expected to come back. You're going to run into the problem. This is we approve and there's no discussion or no follow up to what we're approving. So. Be very clear what you're approving. Or what you would like to see as direction.
Is, can I make a comment? I understand the concern. I don't see the reason why you couldn't table it until people have a chance to kind of go visit and talk and do what they do and come back with better suggestions than what we're maybe doing tonight. That's just my opinion. I don't know that approval or denial really stops us on anything. Let's keep the gap information.
Can I go back higher with the state of the state? No, I agree with you. I have to make a decision. For aesthetic reasons, whatever, I don't like the doors, I don't like how it works. So, I don't think it's in compliance with what we had intended. Included in our list of conditional uses, indoor climate control storage. So, I'm saying there's plan A and plan B. Plan A is in which case.
So, can I read something real fast? This is the concept plan. It says, the Planning Commission shall review the concept plan within 31 days of the date of submission. The Planning Commission shall act to 1. Approve the plan. 2. Disapprove the plan. 3. Approve the plan subject to modification. So that's why I say, to Jared, your point, you're going to approve it, be very clear on what the modification is. Or 4. Where considered necessary, desirable actions to take further consideration of the plan. Later, the Planning Commission would take one of the above actions within a specified time to constitute a binding approval, then they still have to move on to the preliminary. But nonetheless, approval of the concept plan shall not be construed to constitute approval of the subdivision, which shall be deemed as an expression of approval of the basic concept and general layout of the subdivision, which the subdivider may use as a guide in preparation for building plan. So I hope this sheds some light on your course of action. You can table it. There's nothing forcing you to. Take action, but you can't take action tonight. You can approve. This is what we're doing with the modifications process. So you have a whole buffet of options available to you.
And one option, and if it's an option I don't buy, is if we approve it, but with the condition that it does not have an external access permitted by means of your own doors or something like that, I wonder at that point if it goes away. I don't want it.
No.
I think it's.
I don't want it.
Yeah. It's, but in its current sense, since tonight, in my opinion, it's not. it's not in the files, the letter, so we'll do it out.
My feeling very similar to yours. I think Brian said I shared it with him a while ago. I didn't want to get too long with you guys tonight before you spoke, because I wanted you guys to take that stance yourselves. But no, anyway, I felt the same way. Now, on the indoor climate control language in the code, there are a lot of places in the code I wish we could hear in detail. But I just don't know that it's possible in every way to close any loophole that may exist. And I'm not sure if there is on this.
Yeah, I'm not convinced this violates the code, because I mean, this isn't the hideaway storage like in Highland, where you have a row of cinder block buildings with a bunch of roller coasters. 95% by his representation is indoor climate control. So I see it differently. If we had a proposal that looked like the hideaway storage, it's clearly not what we intend. I think he's got a lot of ways to try and comply.
I believe, I agree, especially from the initial concept, even to this point, there's been a lot of accommodation.
Would you like to make a motion? I have one more question before we do it, if I may.
You may.
Is there a way to change those doors so they're not roll-up garage doors and still give access to somebody with a truck that needs to unload something in 10 minutes that's a half ton of cardboard boxes?
I'd love for an idea. We got one. We talked about doing doors that look like windows, but I don't want to see people stuff on the other side of it either.
Well, they'd have to be okay. They'd have to be look like windows, but not be able to see through them, because that would be, that'd be awful.
That could be an idea, but I don't know that is more aesthetically pleasing to me than trying to match the building and make it look how it would look, but that's personal opinion and subjective. I mean, I
throwing it out there.
But I don't know any other way to access without having a door there.
And that may be the reason tabling? I don't know.
If there's exterior access, there has to be doors, obviously. It's just, what are they going to look like aesthetically? Or we can go with, no, they need to be all interior and only have a couple of big access doors on the side.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I would have to go back and redesign and add more loading zones, which to me is not, doesn't accomplish what I hear they make. Some of the bigger concerns are is people on the site, they're rolling up, people are going to be there more frequently, whereas if I can spread it out, they're there and they're gone. So that's why I say this, trying to understand really the concern that we're going above and beyond our landscaping and we're shielding and we're showing a really pretty site and we're looking good, is that accomplishing what the concern is? If not, I'm not reducing the number of units in the building to accomplish what you're after. We're trying to increase the loading areas to be able to spread out the people that are there. So in mind, not accomplishing. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Just again, whereas the retention base is not slated to go into the project for that. That's part of the future, right?
I know the word that makes much, but what is going to be on the south side of that lot?
Right now, it's just a lot.
Right, but to mitigate. Because on the east side, I'm going to have a new wall and landscaping.
Well, you're talking about the elevator.
The landscaper. Yeah, the 23 and a half feet on the south side there. Is that just going to be grass, or is that going to have landscaping?
Yeah, that would be landscaped as well. Yes. And you have a drive aisle to another building over there. There is a 10 foot park between our road that accesses the entire building and the next, which would be landscaped.
You're asking about
okay.
This portion right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just landscaping of some sort of thing. And so, correct. Yeah. And that's part of the required submission for a preliminary data to show what the boundaries where they are, side of the trees.
Can I ask a question about the it shows on the plan the fence along the front along the east side, between the storage facility and the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And is that
6 foot right now.
Right, and it's, but it's, if you scroll to the back side, so the fence starts halfway through somebody's yard.
This will be put in as a fence for the Cedar Canyon development, so that'll be a complete fence there.
And will that all go in at the same time, or?
No, but I'm certain that we can work with the two groups and coordinate this.
Have all the way down the east side?
Both have to work with two groups.
Well, this lot will have their fence in the backyard, will be one material and have to be.
Well, hopefully not, because that's what we're saying. I wouldn't want to see that.
So we can get, so the Cedar Canyon, there's going to be the concrete type fencing that goes along this portion.
Right, all the way to the north side.
But they're going to be concrete. Well, we're working with them on doing concrete all the way around. But that's the point, is getting the main model style of that fencing, sharing it with each group and saying, this is what it is. It's a foam core type fencing, so you're not going to hold it.
But it's not 7 inches shoulder or anything yet. Is the fencing stop here? Or is it
would stop, it would terminate here.
And
you could get as a condition and say, no, the fence has to continue on.
Yeah.
Or at least to a property plan.
Yeah.
No, it has to be, I'm sorry. It should be all the way down. I think once they start developing it, there should be a barrier between the commercial and the residential.
From this point.
And there's a lot of reasons for that.
And so, what do you want to name something?
Well, first of all, for the neighborhood, just keeping it separate, there's safety issues. There's a lot of kids that like to go into that area that like to play, and even though it's starting to develop, there's some along aren't developed, behind there, and that barrier could be a doubt, it could be a problem for kids. Also, when you start developing that, there's a lot of wildlife and rodents and stuff like that, and if they're going to want to go somewhere. And if there's a barrier there, that will help with the neighborhood to help push, keep these separate.
Does this body have a real feeling of whether they want that to be 6 or 8 foot?
Hey, everyone on that street is 8.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to get it verbalized.
Have you been behind an 8 foot fence wall?
Yeah, we did.
And I don't really care. It's a little bit more money, but it doesn't really matter to me. But I'm just saying, if I've been behind an 8 foot wall in a smaller backyard, I think those are 4-acre lots. And a higher wall, to me, makes you feel like you're closed in. But if that's how you want it, I don't care. I'm just saying, I would rather have a 6 foot wall. It's still, just because I know the use of this facility. You're not hiding yourselves from trucks. So yeah, are they going to be there periodically? Yes. But you will see them on very rare occasion. But you may be in your yard on a lot more occasion where you're now feeling like you got to make a wall in the backyard. I'm just giving you an idea. My brother, I used to live in Cedar Hills and have a brother that lived against the church on Cedar Hills Drive. And every time I was in his backyard, he'd make a wall. I'm like, it's a 1/4 acre lot. You don't have a ton of space behind it. So every time I'm back there, I feel like I'm like inside something. That's just a personal opinion. So just jumping to 8 thinking that it's going to save you or protect you from something, just go live it and look at it. Make sure that's what you want.
I'm sitting with an 8 foot wall again between Walmart and neighbors.
Yeah, and that was my neighborhood. I hate it, but that's just me. I mean, they may like it, but I'm telling you my opinion.
Okay. Let's decide that later.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good point. I'll have to go find the backyard.
Especially if you've got landscaping and trees and things that are also helping to buffer it, is what I'm saying. It
could be a combination. I mean, we've done large farm, and that's what that's.
Yeah.
Great people, great. Right, what we've done is like serpentine, so instead of a straight burn, or you pull the burn along property line, so that some of it is grass or landscaping. That makes it a really good decision.
You can go up the burn for the fence.
planting trees on berms or creating taller.
Yeah, and there's just different ways.
There's ways to mitigate that view, so it's not just solid concrete wall, solid brick. And you know, we don't get complaints about Walmart, the wall or the trucks or anything there. So thank you, Mike.
Okay, so on the back, for instance, my lot's 25 and the lot's 26. But as we have these old, like, carried out trees that are grown, that were growing there before the fence and chain link was put in. So we're wondering what happens to those trees.
So probably like that.
They're old.
So like the trees are grown so far. The trunks are right on the line.
Likely, if there where the fence is going to go, the tree's going to go. It would be like this. The fence is really on the property. The fence has to sit on the property line, so the tree's got to move. Trees that established all their move very well. So it moves very well. But that's why you need to start talking about the landscape and kind of what you would type of vegetation do we want to see there.
I have to go look at it to see where they fit on the property line. Maybe
so the trunk is on the property line and just comes around with the line?
Well, they've grown so large that the trunks are like budding up to it. Well, it may not be an issue, but it might. You just don't know.
I think they were always that large.
Were they?
Yeah.
I have not.
Is it something the neighbors love?
We love our trees. We kept them for very long.
You need to share your best push.
For apples.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the challenge. Those walls are, I think, 8 or 10 feet long. You've got some pillars that support them. If they do a 2 foot wide hole dug, the chances of them surviving if their back's close to the fence are not likely, I would just tell you. But yeah.
It's not an issue because all of us have trees, so we're trying to know what we do.
So where do you live, the Golden Slipper?
25 and 6.
So, would anybody like to make a motion, or should we talk about this more? I'm not opposed to talking about it more.
Are there conditions that would make you amenable to the exterior units? Are there things that would say, hey, we can support that if it wasn't on this side, but we're on the other side, or if you increase your landscape requirement, or you plant something differently, or use a different type of door?
So, I'll share my opinion. I think when we make a motion, then we'll have some discussion before we go up and we can kind of share with it. I'll share mine in advance of the motion. So I likely won't support this because it's not true media that I thought I was going to be, and I guess we just have a communication gap between us and your industry on what a true indoor climate control facility is like. And I think the concept that we were left with the impression that it would, you would be being held with the storage facility, like a non-ship office building. So that's my concern. The only way I think I would even consider mitigating, I don't say this would, just going out there would be if there were no garage type storage, exterior type entrances on at least 3 out of 4 corners, maybe 2, 3 west and south, and I think it would require an extreme amount of landscape. That over the top amount of tree trunk or the wall there to show that it would require, my mind, I see a landscape plan that was pretty extreme in nature and it's blocking of the view of these garage doors. So that,
sorry, which facades were you talking about?
So
west and south.
The west and the south, phenomenally. I mean, the north would be nice as a detention basin over there. I'm not as concerned about that. And there'll be a 6 to 8 foot wall in the back. I don't know if you're going to see garage doors enough back there. The public will see the west and the south when they're in our commercial zone. I'm just saying that's the only way I think I might change my position. But yeah,
So I'm just trying to, it's not what I envision a product is going to be yet. In my mind, to me, the definition, the group definition we made it permitted use was arguing truly indoor climate control building would be one that may have exterior access for consumers to use. I don't know how the exterior ramps or garage doors, whatever, for the public to get into the building and, you know, gain access. Their indoor climate control storage unit. That's just my thought process. I've already shared it several times already tonight, so I know some of the body goes that way and some don't. So again, we have the ability to pass this in approval, deny it, or table it. Right? If we deny it, they could come back with a different proposal that we may approve. If we approve it with conditions, then they'll return back to us with a preliminary plan of some sort that we can approve or deny. We table it. But we table it, I guess they can come back and make a presentation, although I think we should approve or deny and make a decision. So anyone make a motion?
I move that we not approve the concept map for the facility located in approximately 9,500 West.
And is there a second?
I'll second.
And before we vote, anyone want to discuss anything?
I'd like to go on record as saying, from a use point of view, I have no problem whatsoever with everything that's been presented. I don't have a problem with it at all. I think that I don't think the garage doors make it in any way less safe or more onerous to the neighbor. I've seen the vast amounts of flow that goes to the storage facility that you mentioned in Fuzzy Grove, and it amounts to about 3 cars a day. I am not concerned about that being traffic of any kind. All the storage facilities I've seen, it's you count on a single hand the number of cars per hour. The Taco Bell will have a single hand in 5 minutes. So from my point of view, that's a non-issue. I do have a concern with the aesthetics. It does not match what we've required everywhere else in our commercial. And so it's the aesthetics that's a problem for me.
Any other comment before we go?
I would like to.
So let's do a voice vote, just to be different.
Roll call vote,
that's right. So, Jared?
Nay.
So just to be clear, we're voting to, the motion is to not approve. Right.
I do not approve the motion, so I'm voting
nay. Gotcha. Lorianne? Jeff?
Aye.
John?
Nay.
And myself, David, I will vote aye. Is that 3-2?
No, you're 5 votes.
Yeah. So the motion to not approve passes. Is that right? Okay. We do appreciate your time and effort. You may consider the business model in case you back to something a little bit different and enjoy it. So the next agenda item for tonight is to review recommendation and public hearing on amendments to City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, related to carports, lands, and cargo containers and accessory structures. Before we begin our discussion, I'd like to open the public hearing on this topic. Is there anybody here from the public who would like to make a comment on this topic? Seeing that, I will now close the public hearing. Get your name.
Jane Kay.
seeking planning commission's review and recommend proposed addition to 10529 relating carports, classic cargo containers, and accessory structures. Zoning and building department has previously had applications for these type of structures. These were previously denied due they were not clearly defined in the city code. Staff recognizes that these already have carports within the city of Cedar Hills. However, I'm unaware of any that have had previous permits for approval for these carports in the city. Staff has included the requested changes to these 10529 code in order for planning commission to review and recommend any changes to this. So the following changes have been done to the code as far as what we've done is we cleaned up the verbiage in some of this. In section A, under the structures permitted, we've included carports. In one, we have also indicated that carports may only be used for the parking and storage of vehicles and or recreation vehicles. And then if you go down to 3A, we included design, materials, and finish for the proposed attached structures. So this basically recommends that detached carports would not be subject to the same materials and finish requirements as do if they are attached to the main structure or the primary structure, such as awnings that were previously in the code related to that. Part of the verbiage also indicated that as surrounding as a whole. So as requested by Mr. Driggs, we have striped that from there to include that attached structures are in harmony with the primary structure and will issue a permit with a positive finding. Number section six, we have included the carport section of this, which clearly gives the parameters of what we are going to allow for carports within our code.
Maybe this is a question for both you and Chandler. When we say a carport may be located inside or rear setback to property, are we implying that it's not permitted in the
front setback?
Do we need to say may only be located, or is the current language allowed to?
Doesn't hurt to add only.
Wait.
In 6A.
Yeah, I understand where you're at, but you say it can only be located in the setback.
Side or rear setback.
That means if...
Who's saying that?
I think you're...
It isn't in the setback. Now we're saying it can't be in there.
Wait, what are you saying?
On a larger lot.
If you have a larger lot that has a large backyard and the carport is going to be in the side setback and part of your backyard that's not setback,
mm-hmm.
If you say only in the setback area, you can't be anything that isn't the setback area.
So I would recommend a carport may only be located in a side and or rear setback. That clarify that. So it would be located in either a side and a rear.
It still doesn't address the potential for rear property that's neither in the side setback or the rear setback.
But you have part of your lot that is on a larger lot, you have an area that isn't a setback that you could put a, but I think we agreed you could put a carport.
Wait. How would you have an area of your lot that's not in a setback?
In the setback defined
from the property
like
line.
20 feet from the property line, right?
No, it's just we define the setback as anything from the property line to the houses of the side setback. And it can be greater than what's required, but that's the side setback area. So it extends
I'm all right with
it extends from the main dwelling foundation wall all the way to the property line.
Then strike what I said.
So then it'd be the front setback would be the property line, and then the back would be to the rear property line.
Then I'm good. Then just the word only there.
So we have the width at 24 feet. I know we talked about this in our last meeting. That's adequate for a recreational vehicle.
That's adequate for like two.
For two recreational vehicles.
Yeah.
24 feet, two.
Yeah.
It's almost three parking stalls.
Accessory structures, and the last sentence, which are customarily used, it's past tense. We need a D in there. It's nitpicking, but. You're just thinking to get cars in, 7 foot's not enough. For my car it is, but not for a van or something. So
people want to park an RV.
Yeah, and that's a lot higher to go higher, 7 foot. Yeah.
And I think the CV is more of an RV than these cars, at least. That was the discussion.
Yeah. Is your boats or some such, yeah, no.
I don't know how tall RVs are, so I'm not an expert.
Oh, it's 7 feet.
Yeah.
Who's got one? How tall are they?
So what we have in the code here right now, what's it?
The code basically states that it can be 7 feet at the point nearest to the property line. It has to be 412 pitch on and must go away from the main building before the property line. So if we increase that point next to the property line, the height, but leave the 412 pitch on that.
Yeah.
It would just increase the height on the west side.
I think for RV, that would be reasonable.
No, it's got to be higher. I'm wondering if it's 10, is it 12, or
basically 1 to 5.
Now, this is specifically addressed in the first piece.
Onyx.
Yeah, sorry.
Where are we at?
We are on
3C.
Somebody came and on the outside of the fence, it is the back side of the porch building, down to the lowest part of the
And not even a big boat. On a trailer.
Do we have to say a height if you say that it can exceed the roof line?
Do the 412 and don't go up the roof line?
But it has a little pitch and everything that go up that can exceed the roof. You know, that bottom roof line of the house? Because you don't want that height or anything because it's got drainage issues. But that way, if somebody has a taller home, they have the ability to. But as long as it doesn't exceed that bottom, you know what I mean? With it, bottom edge of the roof.
What are the things to consider possibly having to rent this by for a building official is to any type of fire code that would implicate this portion of the code too?
If you're 7 feet at the property line, maximum 4 foot, also 3 feet at the property line. So if you're on your property, the upper end of your slope is going to be at 7 feet. What's wrong with the language?
It just seems funny. If you had a boat on a trailer, right, you might be able to get it on the deck. That's one thing that is camels, and I think there's just about 8 or 9 feet on the outside edge of the
line. We have our boat on a trailer because they have swim pools, shallow draft. It was designed to fit into an 8 foot garage. So, you know, a motorboat.
You probably get that. Something is some of these ski boats, especially in that rock.
They are in the bottom here, so.
Yeah, the ranch.
So somebody's going to fit under the way of the language of the park now. Do we want to go any higher? And so that people put even bigger things next to their house, or do we do a lot?
Well, I think we want to encourage people to put things next to their house instead of the front driveway. People's trailers, boats, and parking the driveway because I want to prevent them from getting outside the house.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess they can just reach for a break inside the house code or the driveway code, but.
Well, I've got an RV pad that goes along the side of my garage. It just doesn't have an awning.
Right.
So I can go as tall as I want and park it, you know, whatever there is.
Right.
11 feet high, basically. This just would be protected from the elements, so.
I feel like it should be higher than 7, but I don't know.
You're after input on this tonight, right?
This is a strictly feedback. This is what we're going to
do. So it could be our feedback, because if you think that, you know, if you guys come in here, you think it should be higher, but maybe we can go over to 6 or less.
Yeah.
Less than we're elsewhere. You know, is there a higher or a pretty higher or whatever? I don't know why it is, it's just sort of, the higher we know, the more things the rest of their life.
Yeah.
so if we go down to storage containers, under section C, we included storage containers, freight cargo containers, box cars, and similar equipment are prohibited as a permanent structure or defined as utility or portable shed. We have included that. We changed 72 hours that they could park that to a week. And we could also allow for a longer period of time if it's connected to a construction site project. I spoke with our building official as far as 90 days, and he felt like that was adequate. He agreed with that after the inspection.
Is it by administration, by board approval, is the official or is there a specific function the offices that approve that? It seems like we haven't used the word administration over much.
Well, you say city administration, or is it implied that it's,
In code, you have legislative decisions and you have administrative decisions.
This just makes it
an administrative decision, and somebody in city staff would approve this. It's not necessarily designating one person, but our staff isn't so large that, I mean, the front desk individuals are like, yeah, you can do that. I mean, that's not going to happen. It's either going to be Jenny or myself.
I'm just thinking, why would these other parts of the project that seem like zoning official?
And you can call it out. I mean, but it either way, it still is an administrative decision.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a verb.
Yeah, I see.
And then, like the principal, I think we need to be a solution.
And I would also recommend that the 90 days would be coincide with the building plan. And so that would be tied to the building plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I don't think everybody's arguing about that. I think I think that's fine.
If you want to call out an individual, I just put in code enforcement official. Because that's who's going to be dealing with it anyway. Because that's who's going to be dealing with complaints about the storage unit anyway.
We want code enforcement or zoning official?
Code enforcement.
Yeah. Code enforcement.
Where are you looking?
Where it says administration, extensions may be granted by administration, just put extensions may be granted by code enforcement official. Oh, yeah.
Also, we have in section B, some additional restrictions of placement for non-placement cargo containers were added, including that. And then on section C, we included that as being prohibited as being used as part of a residential or any permanent structure on the property. So this would basically prohibit any type of cargo container being used as a man cave or
a she shed.
A she shed.
So they're not allowed in the public street, correct?
Correct.
And we're saying that city either. So we have somebody wanting to call their house, they've got a basement on floor, whatever, they're just going to go at it. And we're telling them they can't put this on the grass.
And typically, a lot of times when people do have these type of storage containers, they'll put them in their driveway. It does, create a hazard.
It
kills the grass.
It doesn't mean I'm going to look at it. What's the garbage? Waste containers. And I think those are handled in a part of the code.
Say it again.
If you're gutting a basement because you're doing a remodel, mm-hmm. they bring in the waste, the open top waste containers that you're going to fill up.
I don't think we even addressed those in our code.
Because those are different, certainly, from these cargo containers.
Well, and those don't hang out. We've had The temporary ones that are like kind of the, it's almost like a canvas, it's like a vinyl mesh, where you load it up and they come and pick it up.
I'm talking about the big old metal ones.
So those ones, we've actually had people park those in their driveway for
weeks.
Ages.
Yeah.
No, weeks, I wish it was only weeks.
Yeah, okay.
It was a permanent fixture of the home. Yeah,
we had one of those in our neighborhood that was there for about 4 or 5 months.
Keep going longer is what I'm thinking.
Well, I'm just saying this happened this last summer. It's
been a nuisance in a number of instances.
Okay. But they're different from the cargo container.
And you can add dumpsters here.
That's essentially a dumpster shed.
Maybe somewhere in the code it limits it to
3. I thought dumpsters were limited.
When I said that's not addressed in the code, I was thinking something different.
No, dumpsters is what I'm talking about. And they're a different place in the code, so I'm fine with that. Different discussion.
Okay.
It was good. I'm not going to say fascinating, but it was good. It's well written. Fascinating.
So we could make a motion to the table so we can clarify a few things, or we can move this with how we feel like it should be with some changes. We can always revisit this code and modify it later if we decide that we need this marijuana versus a year.
Oh no, that was going to be later anyway.
It's just masses. Come on.
As I understood it, that was always.
So we were looking. This section of the code would be addressed at a later time.
Well, I'm just saying we had to review recommendations, not just discussion. So right.
Make a motion.
Sure.
Okay. I move that to recommend the proposed amendments to your LDP code 10.5.9 for the carport, land, sea, water containers, and accessory structures.
Pursuant to the current.
You want to go through some of the changes we just made. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?